This is KVNS Regional Newscast for Tuesday, August 3rd. I'm Kate Redmond, in for Gavin Dahl. The Montrose County School District has published their COVID policy for the upcoming school year. The Montrose Press reports that the school district will not require unvaccinated students or staff to wear masks at school, on buses, nor at sporting events. Guidance from the state released on July 20th emphasizes safely returning to in-person learning, deploying layered mitigation strategies, and focusing on mitigating community transmission. These strategies include indoor mask wearing, cohorting, optimizing indoor ventilation, outdoor learning, and regular testing. Broader CDC guidelines for mask wearing were also updated on July 27th to encourage people in counties with high community spread to wear masks. As of July 29th, the CDC has classified Montrose County as an area with high levels of community transmission, with a 7-day incidence rate of 100 cases per 100,000 residents. Delta County 50J and Mesa County Valley School District, both in high COVID transmission areas, announced earlier this month that masks nor vaccinations will be required in their district either. School districts in Ridgeway and Ouray will be announcing their policies in the next couple of weeks. Colorado Governor Jared Polis will soon issue a state disaster declaration for the mudslides that have shut down Interstate 70 through Glenwood Canyon. The Denver Post reports the shutdown could last a few weeks. State officials plan to seek federal money and resources under the declaration as crews respond to mud and rock slides. 4 inches of rain fell in the canyon in 5 days. That's nearly the double the average monthly rainfall total for July. An estimated 75 people spent the night in their cars after getting stuck on the interstate on Thursday, 29 of the motorists in the Hanging Lake Tunnel. The typical southern detour for canyon closures along US 50 through Gunnison has been blocked this summer by an intense construction project. CDOT suspended construction on that project on Monday and reopened US 50 fully for at least this week. Judge Gretchen Larson sentenced Ika Eden to 96 years for fatal child abuse on Friday in Grand Junction. Michaela Roberts, 8 years old, and Hannah Marshall, 10, were found to have been killed by cult members in Norwood in 2017. They were left in a hot car with no food or water for days. Ika Eden is the last of 5 defendants to be sentenced. 3 of the defendants are appealing their convictions. Nashika Bramble, the children's mother, is serving 2 life terms for first-degree murder. The COVID-19 pandemic led to numerous changes in mountain towns across the West. From an influx of remote workers to skyrocketing real estate prices, local governments have been struggling with how to address rapidly shifting demographics and accelerating housing crises in their communities. And now, as a new report from Colorado shows, many pandemic-era changes are likely here to stay. Will Walkie from KHOL in Jackson, Wyoming, has more.
John Stavney lives in Eagle County, Colorado, home of Vail and Beaver Creek. He served on town boards and was a county commissioner there. But recently, he's taken on a new position.
Executive Director of the Northwest Colorado Council of Governments. It's a mouthful. But we represent local governments.
Stavney's job is to communicate with several resort communities similar to Jackson Hole, like Aspen and Breckenridge. He also took on a new task this year, documenting changes that have occurred in those areas since the outbreak of the pandemic in March 2020.
I think when COVID first hit, a lot of our communities thought, well, interesting, we're going to have the place to ourselves, right? Like the 2008 financial crisis, you know, the housing prices may go down and people are just not going to want to be here. Well, it turns out people have a lot of options when it comes to isolation.
Stavney started hearing anecdotes from county commissioners about visitors coming to mountain towns and staying longer and demanding different services than most locals. So he talked with real estate agents, conducted surveys, and crunched the numbers to get a fuller picture of just how much the pandemic is affecting mountain towns in 6 Colorado counties. His research culminated in the 70-page mountain migration report. And what Stavney and his partners found is that many communities are undergoing accelerated changes unlike anything seen over the past decade, especially when it comes to housing.
So there's a sense among some locals that the housing issue is just the same as it ever was, right? One of the things that we found out is Yes, but that's not quite the case.
For example, many new residents and part-timers are entering the rental market rather than purchasing real estate. That's raised the average price of some apartments and townhomes by anywhere from 20 to 40%.
You think of renters as being somebody who's going to be there for a year or more, which is probably somebody who's going to probably have a local job. Well, many of them have work that's attached somewhere else.
60% of new residents that moved during the pandemic to the Colorado area studied work for an employer located outside their resident county, compared to just a quarter of the local population in those places. 70% of those same newcomers also make over $150,000 a year.
Lo and behold, no. The people that also need help are nurses and doctors and people earning what locally looks like a lot of money. But when they're competing with these folks coming in, it's a different game.
Stavney says he's been aware of these trends for a long time, but like so many shifts across the U.S. last year, COVID accelerated and cemented them. Real estate, for example, is poised to remain on a bull run, and part-time residents, who represent a big part of those surveyed communities, are also doing things differently.
You know, they're not visitors in the classic visitor sense. They're really seeing themselves as residents of the community, right? In a couple of years, a large number of these people potentially are going to be long-term people, and they've migrated and stayed.
Part-time residents will spend 30% more time in their vacation home over the next few years, according to the report. That's good in some ways for local tax collectors, nonprofits, construction workers, and more. But it also makes it harder for local workers to find a place to live.
Workers are people. They come with families. They need a place to be. You can't just stack them up like cordwood.
18% of surveyed renters said they saw their monthly rates go up in 2020, and 31% expressed having severe difficulty securing housing. Stavney says he hopes local officials see his report and realize they need to take radical action.
They're going to have to make some changes in policy, and in some cases, I think aggressively pursuing, even more than they had before, housing, you know, and whatever form that takes. They're going to have to shake the tree more than they have before.
Stavney also says that's sure to meet healthy resistance from people who suddenly have to live in denser neighborhoods or have their views obstructed.
They are special places, and there's a reason that many of us who are in these places have gravitated here. You know, change needs to respect that.
But change also needs to respect the needs of both newcomers and local workers. Stavney says that's going to take courage from electeds to be bold and think outside the box.
I think all that incremental stuff is good, but it's not going to address this.
Mayors and county commissioners across the West have already started referencing the Mountain Migration Report, partially to signal how quickly their communities are shifting and in what ways, and partially to show other mountain towns you're not alone. Milwaukee, KHOL News.
That does it for Tuesday's KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Kate Redmond.